This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
Praise God. Now, if you have your Bible tonight, I don't always ask people to turn to it, but tonight I want you, how many have Bibles in here? That's a great number. And if you could share it, I want you to turn to the 91st Psalm with me. Psalm 91. Now, this great Psalm, thousands and hundreds of thousands have memorized it through the centuries. It's been, we don't know when this Psalm was written. We don't know who wrote it. God wrote it. But the Jewish people say they think Moses wrote the psalm. And the reason they say that, the Jewish scholars, is it follows Psalm 90, which we know Moses wrote. But lots of the evangelical Christians and many of us believe that probably this psalm was written by King David. And there's reasons for that in the style and so forth. It really doesn't matter because it's God's word and God wrote it. And tonight, God wants to help many people in this building. That you're bothered with fear and you have problems with fear. That's been one of the great battles of my life, to be open and totally honest with you. And the first great battle I had after I was saved, the first year I got saved, it was like heaven on earth. And God said, let's give him a honeymoon before we let him have let him find out what the Christian warfare is really like. The first year was so fantastic for me. And the second year was something else. I had a battle, but it changed my life. I met the devil and Satan's power and fear. And seeking God for a year or more, just with everything within me, I finally turned to Psalm 91. And ever since then, I've always had part of that psalm on my person. Or the whole psalm. This is the whole book of Psalms. I carry the whole thing now. I graduated from a little bit to the whole thing, right? But there's nothing magic about it. But I wanted to remind myself constantly. And I told God, I'll thank you every day when you help me. And I got the victory from this psalm that catapulted me into victory over this tremendous fear that I had. Tonight, God would like to deliver many people in this building and change your life and let the power of the Word of God come into you and make you a strong person and change your life from where you are to where He wants you to go. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to read it through first, just slowly, and I want you to catch the spirit of this psalm. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Incredible. I will say, now the writer, either Moses or David, says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. A personal testimony slipped in there. My God, in Him I will trust. Surely, He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, the traps of the devil, and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, God's feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth, shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terrors of night, nor of the arrow that flieth by day, nor of the pestilent that walks in the darkness, nor of the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, his personal testimony again, even the Most High, your habitation. See, it says my and yours. Your habitation. No evil shall befall you. No evil shall befall you. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For God shall give his angels charge over you. God will discharge his angels over you to keep you in all your ways, and they'll bear you up in their hands lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Incredible, incredible, incredible. And it's the Word of God. God wrote this psalm. That's why I think he purposely didn't let anybody's name get attached to it. Verse 1. Whoever dwells in the secret place of the Most High. Now, the writer is referring to the Holy of Holies in this spot, God's presence. The Holy of Holies was a room a little smaller than this, 30 feet across, but a lot like this room right here, 30 feet deep, 30 feet across, 30 feet high. And this, and I'm using the temple that Solomon built for reference because it was so dramatic. And it had a tremendous curtain in the front between the holy and the holiest, just like this has. An enormous curtain that covered the 30 feet that came down. Now, in the midst of this room, there was two cherubims, two angels. These cherubims, one angel was 15 feet in his wing touched the outside wall. And his other wing touched the wing of the other cherubim. And the cherubim, this wing touched this cherubim, and his other wing touched this. It says they stood on their feet and they looked in this way. Now these angels were 15 feet high. Angels, cherubims, 15 feet high, with these incredible wings. No light in this room. The Shekinah of glory lit the room, and it was gold. All gold on the ceiling, gold on the walls, gold everywhere but the curtain. And in the curtain were cherubims woven. Angels were formed in the gold. It was a room of angels. And the psalmist said, if you stay in that room with angels 15 feet high, there is nothing going to happen to you. I mean, there's just nothing going to happen to you. You're in with these incredible angels. They're all over you, all around you, under you, everywhere, all full of angels. Now, in the New Testament, comparable to staying there is living in His holy presence, is living in the Spirit. Living a holy life in the Spirit, and it is equally safe and equally secure as you are there, and that is with you. You have to live in His presence. You have to live a holy life. You've got to keep God in, keep in His presence all the time, wherever you are. You've got to be aware that God, what you're saying has to be listened to. God's listening to it. You're with Him. You're living with Him. You're talking to Him. His Holy Spirit is within you. And you are in His presence. And He says He is going to take care of you even more. And it is more real than Solomon's temple. His presence is more real. Now, if you'll stay in that presence, there is nothing going to happen to you. I've got news for you. Satan cannot get in next to you because you are in God. He says in the verse down later, says the same thing, because you've chosen to dwell in His presence. Praise God. Stay in His presence. Holy Spirit, I ask you to help these people understand what living in the Spirit really means. Living a holy life. Living with God. Being victorious all the time. Everywhere. Wherever you are victorious. You're living with God. You're speaking God's Word. You're saying, thinking His thoughts. You are living with Him. Move away from the world. Move away from the culture. Move away from Satan's the snares and the fleshly life and move into the Holy of Holies, and you'll find power and anointing and glory. Hallelujah. And protection. Praise God. He says, and you will be under the shadow. You're so close, His shadow is over you all the time. And then it says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and fortress. Refuge simply means hiding place. It's your hiding place, and He is your hiding place, and He is your fortress, a place of security. Safe, secure. Corrie ten Boom, whom I got to know and lived and stayed with us on two occasions, stayed in our home and stayed with me. I was so shocked when she accepted our invitation to come. I thought she had never come to be with me. We were so insignificant, but somehow God moved on her to come and accept my invitation to come and minister in our church and stay with us. I went to pick her up in Long Island. She was there in Long Island at some Billy Graham's daughter's in-laws. And I went to get her, and when she got in the car, the lady that was with her, young lady taking care of her, sat in the back seat. Corrie got in the front side of me. She slapped me on the knee and said, "You and I will always be friends." She said, "I knew it when I stepped in your car." She said, "I know when I meet, I know who they are when I meet them. You don't have to tell me who you are. I know who you are." It was an incredible experience to have her. Corrie tells the story, wrote the story, and often told it. When she was in Ravensbrück concentration camp, 4 of those months she was in solitary confinement. She said when she was in this room, solitary confinement, in Ravensbrück prison camp, because of her rescuing the Jewish people, saving the Jews in her father's home, Corrie said that she heard the screams of the people in his other rooms, horrible screams of people being tortured, women being tortured. She said, "I was so afraid." Said, and I was so closed in. I backed up against the wall in the room, and I pushed my hands like I'm trying to push the wall back. I'm so closed in. The floor is filthy water on it. I'm saying, "God, I'm so afraid." She said, I don't have enough faith to take it. I can't take it. I don't have faith enough for this situation." And she said, she looked down on the floor and she saw this little ant. And this little ant ran, left the water and ran and went through the hole in the wall, his little teeny hole. And the Spirit said to her, "Corrie, look at the ant." He didn't stand there worrying about the water. It was too deep for him and too heavy for his feet. He just headed for his hiding place. And the Spirit says, Corey, you don't have to have the faith. Just hide in me. And God gave her the word and gave her that peace as she stood there. She said, the aunt preached a great sermon to me. Just go into the hiding place. Hallelujah. Just run into the presence of God. When Satan gets after you, run into your hiding place. Run into your refuge. Always go to God. Go to God. Man ought always pray and not to faint. Hallelujah. And He'll take care of you. Hallelujah. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. That is so important, verse 3. Now, the snare of the fowler is the traps of Satan. Satan sets traps for everybody. Now, a trap is something that hunters set and put a bait on it and cover it up, and it looks like something that it's not. Now, Satan uses the world to trap you, and he uses the flesh to draw you. The world draws you from outside, traps you. God, Satan shows you the world. Lies. Shows you lies on billboard. Lies in television. These folks are so happy living like the devil. They are so blessed living like the devil. It's a lie. It's a trap. My brother-in-law, he comes from northern Maine, and he was a great trapper as a young man. And you know, it's really not a nice thing. But he trapped these minks because they had this beautiful fur in northern Maine. And he would set this food in the wintertime, nice piece of meat, piece of something on there that they really liked. And they had a scent that he put all around that, and he covered it all up with bushes and with leaves so the mink couldn't see it, and the mink can smell it, and he can't see anything but the meat underneath. Did you ever see a hunter's trap? These incredible teeth on that thing under the ground right there. So when he bit that thing, these teeth jump up and grab the mink. And the poor thing is terrible. If they get him just by the foot, a mink is so smart, he'll bite his foot off and go away with 3 feet. And Jesus said, do the same thing. If Satan gets you by the foot, he says, lose your arm and your foot and go to heaven. Praise God. Now, don't fall for the world. Don't believe it. Don't listen to the flesh that cries out for the wrong stuff and the wrong lifestyle. Don't listen. And don't let Satan himself frighten you. Because God is greater than all of the powers of darkness and all the powers of the devil. Hallelujah. If you listen, God will tell you that's a trap. Don't go there. You have to listen. And He will cover you with His feathers. And under His wings you shall take refuge. Jesus said in Luke's gospel, He said, how often I wanted to gather the people of Jerusalem together. How I loved them. Oh, Jerusalem, how He cried. I wanted to gather you like a mother hen gathers her chicks, to quote Him exactly. And I wanted to gather you around and protect you and save you from the destruction. But you wouldn't listen. And God says, I am like the mother hen. Now, I was born in Connecticut, but as a young boy, we moved to North Carolina for 12 years, and we lived in a small town, and we had a little piece of land, and it was the Depression. You had to raise whatever you had to eat, folks, and we had chickens, and I learned about chickens. And I learned this when a mother hen has her chickens hatched, and she has got them. When the storm was coming and it starts to get rain, it would get so dark, she would send out a certain cackling signal, and all those little chicks would come running. They knew her voice. They came running, and she would cover them up. Let me tell you something about a hen. Now, they'll run from you when they don't have little chicks. A chicken is a coward. But when a mother hen has her chicks, she don't run from anything or anybody. She'll bite, she'll snarl, she'll snap, and she won't run from a dog, she won't run from you, she will not leave them. She won't leave them. You have to kill her. She won't go. And God says, I will not leave you. If you'll come under my wings, I will watch over you. When the storm comes and the lightning flashes, and get under the wings of God. And what Jesus said to Jerusalem, He says to His church, come under my wings. I love you. I want to watch over you. Don't stand out there worrying and looking at the lightning and the thunder. Get under the wings of God. When trouble comes, run to the wings of God. Get under the wings. Hallelujah. And He'll protect you. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Truth is your shield and buckler. And you, with the Word of God, will ward off, is the shield that will ward off the fiery darts of the enemy. The buckler is that part that's next to you. If it misses the shield, you still have this armor underneath. Today, the policemen have these bulletproof vests, and that's what it is. It's the buckler. And in those days, it was armor. That if it missed the shield, it hit you, it still didn't hurt you. God says, my word is like that. Be covered with these promises. Take this 91st Psalm into your spirit and let it become part of you. The arrows that are flying by the day, pestilence in the dark of the night that's so scary, the unknown. Whatever is at noonday, 1,000 at your side, and Corey saw it, 10,000 at your right hand. She's told a story how that every night all the folks that were going to be gassed the next morning were brought into one particular room, one particular barracks. This barracks, everybody in that barracks was marched out and gassed the next morning. Every morning she saw thousands of people killed, thousands. Corey, at night, would take the little gospel that she smuggled in at the risk of her life, and run across that ground, the Ravensbrook's camp where she was. She would run across to that building. She would count the steps, how long it took the Nazis with his dogs to walk around to the back of the, walking around the whole camp. And she knew how long it took him before he had come back around to where he could see her. Incredible. And she would count. And how long it took him. And then while he's away, out of sight, she ran across, knock on the door, that opened her up. And every woman in there was going to die the next morning and pray with those women to accept Jesus Christ before they died. Corey did that every night. Can you believe that? Every night she did that. At night she did that. Incredible. Her story is beyond belief. She saw thousands die, and finally they turned Corey loose. Hallelujah. It didn't come near you. It won't come near you. You'll see it, but it won't happen to you. Because you've made the Lord your refuge. Even the Most High, your habitation. You are dwelling with Him. You're living there. No plague will come near you because you're in the Holy of Holies. You're in His presence. Now, this is what I love, the 11th verse especially. God, gives His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They're going with us. They'll bear you up in their hands. Now, this is the only verse that we know of that Satan ever quoted. Satan quoted this verse of Scripture to Jesus, misquoted it, of course, wanted Him to misuse it, which he does to people, tries to get folks to misuse the book. But he quoted this verse because he hates it, because it's powerful. God has, we have angels working with us. If you'll stay in His presence so angels can minister to you, they will minister to you all of the time. They are available. Hallelujah. They are available. Praise God. Some years ago, I'd read the story that C.M. Ward wrote about Kenneth Short and his experience in Europe in the time of the World War II. I was at a minister's conference in Switzerland where he lives, Kenneth Short lives, and he was invited to the conference, Kenneth Short was. So I told him, I said, Kenneth, I've read your story. C.M. Ward wrote it and preached it on ABC Network and wrote your story. I'd love to hear it. He said, my story is this. My wife is Jewish. They were trying to kill her and kill us because I'd married this Jew, and we were saved people. We were in Europe, in Germany. We escaped. It's an unbelievable story. We got into Switzerland, and our money was gone. We had a little place in Lausanne, Switzerland. We were living there. And this day, we have nothing. My wife sits down and writes out a list of groceries that she would do on Saturdays for me to go and shop and get them. And after she wrote it, she just pushed it aside, and I said, nothing we can do. We sat there. Only minutes till a rap came on the door, and a man dressed in a white garment like the folks in the grocery stores in that part of Europe always wore, and said, here are your groceries. Set the groceries down. And she said, I started to thank him, and he turned around and walked out, never said anything else, said, these are the groceries you've ordered, and set them down. And she said there was a window, Kenny said there was a window that he had to pass to get out. So my wife ran to the window to get a good look at this man, and he never passed the window. When he closed the door, he vanished. She opened the groceries, and everything she had written was in there. Everything. And Kenny said, we sat there and said, God, it's incredible. You know, I just feel incredible when I tell Kenny's story. And he said, we just sat there and praised God. He said, when we're broken, they're looking to kill us. And he said, you send an angel and bring the food and the brand of flour that my wife liked to cook with. That's the brand that was in the bag. He knows everything. God is so unique. Hallelujah. And it was incredible. He sends his angels to take care of us and to watch over you. The angels of God are there. You know, a man I heard speak, I just love to hear him, and Henry Garlick, and he was the head of the Assemblies of God's original African program. Great missionary to Africa. His family had spent a lot of time with us in the Depression days. Henry went to Africa. He was on a cliff, something like at Victoria Falls, one of these tremendous places in Africa. I don't remember where it was. But he was on this cliff, and suddenly he slipped and started over the cliff. And he said when he did, he felt two hands push him back up on the cliff. Hallelujah. His wife looked in, and he was going down and came back up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you. It's incredible. And angels help you in little things. Now, we were traveling just this winter. I don't know where I was coming from, Florida somewhere. And I got into the airport, and it's a mess in these airports today. You know that. I had something on me that I couldn't take, on a little pocket knife or something. You got to go out and check it. And they said, well, you had to put it in the bag and take this bag out and check it. My other baggage had gone. I had to take this bag out and go all the way back out, check this bag, put that stuff in it, check this bag. Now I'm nervous. I'm afraid we're just barely going to make the flight. And then I get there and I think, now my bags will be messed up. We don't know if they both got on the plane. And I'm worried and upset. And when I walk in, I walk up to the place where the baggage comes. And as I walk up, my two bags are together sitting right there. I said, Gene, an angel put these bags together. There was no way in the world they could have gotten together. I put them on. They went on. There was no way they could get together. I had to wait an hour for one and whenever the other. And I said, look at that. And I don't wait a minute. I walk up, and these two bags, I could almost see the angel. I said, they, just like he said, there they are, just sitting right there for you. I just walked up, picked up my two bags, and walked out. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the angels are everywhere. He will give his angels charge over you. You've got angels. He said, God says, I assign angels. Do you remember Elijah? Elisha said to the young man when the whole army came around, Elisha, and they were going to capture him, and the king of Syria sent an entire army to take him, chariots and everything. And the young man says, oh, what are we going to do? They're going to get us. There's a whole army. We can't get out. And Elisha says, God, open this guy's eyes. He's blind. And he opens his eyes and he sees the mountains and he sees the armies of heaven and chariots and angels of fire. And he says to him, and he says what God wants to say to you. He says, those that are for us are more and more powerful than those that are against us. Those that are for you are more powerful than those that are against you. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you for the angels. Thank God for the angels. Hallelujah. Now, you, Jesus quoted this part of the psalm in Luke's gospel. He says, you shall tread upon lions and cobras, and young lions shall you trample under feet. Now, it's a different tone. Now, before you are running into the hiding place, now you've been running like the ant to the hiding place and angels are watching. Now, Jesus says, now you are going to walk on lions. You are going to walk on the lions. They're going to be under your feet. You're going to put your foot on that old lion's neck. Hallelujah. And just step right on it. Hallelujah. Because he can't do a thing to you. And it says that demon snake, just put your foot right on his neck and step on that snake. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You will tread on lions and serpents. And Jesus said that. He said you'll tread on them. He said you'll step on them. You'll walk on them. And he says young lions. I'm glad he said young. Not just some old tired out lion that couldn't fight anyway. No. He says the young, the strong lion, you will tread on them. Jesus said you will trample the lions and the dragons under your feet. My mother was her great ministry was pray all the time. And I always think of prayer. You think of my mother, I always just think of one thing, praying. And my children used to think, dread to go to see her because she said, now we're going to have a word of prayer. And they knew that word of prayer was endless, you know. And but when she got to praying, she would dance. And Mama would dance. And I said, Mama, what are you dancing? I'm treading on the lions and the adders. Hallelujah. I'm walking on the lions and the snakes. I'm walking on them. Hallelujah. I'm walking on those demons. I'm walking on those devils. I'm under my feet. Hallelujah. We're victorious. Hallelujah. Because he has set his love upon me. Pastor, I got to hurry. Because he has set his love upon me. You got to set your love on God. You dwell in his presence. And you set your love on him. When I think of this, I think of Aunt Addie, my mother's sister. Aunt Addie. Aunt Addie was a wonderful woman of God. She got wonderfully saved in a revival they had in the early days of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Right after Azusa Street, it came to North Carolina where she lived, and she got the baptism, got saved. Uncle David was one tough man. He even scared me after he was saved. Aunt Addie started going to these meetings. Those days they had church many times a week, something like Times Square Church. You know, they had a lot of church. And she went all the time. She worked hard, became a businesswoman to save their family and build the church and all that. And Uncle David said, now, if you're going to go to that church anymore, said, we're going to break up. You will not go to that church. And he said, I've had it, I'm finished, and I'm sick and tired of it. And he said, if you continue to go, I'm leaving you. She had about five or six children. Her oldest one was Katie, and my cousin Katie. And Aunt Addie said to David, I love you. And I love these children. And I don't want you to leave. But she said, I want to tell you something. When the church doors open, I'll be there. I'll be there. I'm going. I love you, but I love God best. I will not. God has saved me and changed my life, and I've come to know Jesus. And He's given me a tremendous experience in the Spirit. And she said, no, I'm going to go. Well, He said, you go. And you know, it's over for us. I'm finished. She had about 5 or 6 small children. Katie was 9. And started out to say, I'm going to church. And he said, I'm leaving. You working towards church? I'm going. I'm finished. Got his stuff and cleared out. Said he walked out the front door and just about took it off. Slammed that door and gone. And Annie said she took Katie. Said, now tonight, Katie, when we go to church, we aren't going to sing and we aren't going to sit down. We're going to the altar. She said, your father's left and we have to have help. And we're going to the altar and we're going to pray. And we're going to pray while they sing. We're going to pray while they preach. We're going to stay there and pray tonight till we get an answer, you and I. Took her youngest, little Katie, by the hand. She and Katie went, and the pastor could see she was so disturbed. And Aunt Addie went there and fell on that altar. She and Katie, crying out all night, praying. She got the victory. She got the victory. She went home. God gave her the assurance He'd take care of her. She said, I love God best. I love God best. She went home. A few days passed, and she was so victorious and so on top and believing God, she invited the pastor home. David came back in the back door. He went out the front. He came back the back door. He went out so macho, he came back very humble. She prayed through. Hallelujah. And he walked in, and she acted like nothing happened. He said later, he said, I was so miserable, I thought I would die. I got so convicted. He said, who are these people? She said, it's the pastor. She'd invite the pastor home. It's the pastor and his wife. She had dinner for him. Can you imagine? They had meetings in the morning, afternoon, and night, just like here. She went to all three. And so he said, where are you going? He said, we're going to church. We'd like you to come with us. And he went. He got saved. He got filled with the Holy Spirit. He was so powerful. And listen, as powerful as he was wrong, he was that powerful for God. He was outstanding. When he died, an old man, the last thing, you put your ear next to Uncle David, and Uncle David was talking in tongues and praising God. The last breath out of his body was praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've got to love God best. Set your love on the Lord. Set your love on God. You love God more than you love your wife. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. But you love God best. Love your children. Love God more than your children. Love God more than your business. Love God above everything else in this world. Let the love of God be the crowning. Set your love on Him. Hallelujah. Set your affections on God. Hallelujah. 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 And you will be so secure because He has known my name. You set your love. I will not love the world. I will not love the flesh. I will not love the things of the world. I will love God. I set my love on Him. And His love comes back to you. The heart of God reaches out for those to love Him back. Love wants love to be returned. Love Him. He loves you. Praise God. Because He has known my name. Because you learn His name in His Word. His name, He is the bright and the morning star. He is the offspring of David and the Lord of David. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and He is the end. He is the son of Mary and He is the son of Joseph and He is the son of God. Hallelujah. He is God manifest in the flesh, God Almighty. And He says, know His name because you know this word and you know Him and you talk to Him and you know how to call on His name, how to use that powerful name of Jesus that every knee is going to bow to and every tongue is going to confess in all of this universe, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because He hath known my name, He will call, He will pray. The awesome privilege of prayer. You will call and I will answer. This is the greatest thing that you can have. The greatest gift that you can have is not money, it's not prestige, it's not houses, it's not big things, it's not stocks, it's not bonds, it's none of that stuff. The best thing you can have is to know that God knows you and that you know Him and that you can pray and call on Him and He will answer. Call and I will answer you. The privilege of prayer, of walking in to the throne room of eternity and talking to God Almighty. Hallelujah. What an awesome privilege is ours. Hallelujah. I will be with Him in trouble. So obviously we're going to have trouble. It's a promise. I will be with Him in trouble. I will deliver Him and honor Him. With long life will I satisfy Him. I'll satisfy Him and I'll show Him my salvation. What a salvation. I want to just tell you in closing, this salvation, all of this and heaven too. All of those promises and the gift of heaven, of eternal life. What? For free. It's a gift. It's a gift. All of this. And heaven. Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. First heaven and the first earth had passed away. And there was no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city. Oh, I'm going to see it and you're going to see it. The new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them. They shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. He's going to be with us. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Oh, the tears that some of us have had, but He's going to wipe them all away. There will be no more death. Oh, thank God. No more sorrow. No more crying. No more pain. The former things have passed away. Then He that sat on the throne said, I make all things new. He said unto me, write, these words are true and they're faithful. He said to me, it's done. It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Are you thirsty? He who overcomes shall inherit all things. Everything is ours. I will be his God and he will be my son. But cowards, unbelievers, abominable people, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Then the closing words, and I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify to you these things to the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. The bright and the morning star. I love this. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hears, anyone that hears, say, come. And let him who thirsts, come. And whoever desires, let him come. Come, come, and take the waters of life freely. It's a gift. He gives you all of this, and He gives you heaven too. God bless you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Stand with me right where you are,
beloved, throughout the house. If you can hold off making out for the door right now, we'd greatly appreciate it. One thing that Pastor Crandall mentioned at the beginning of this message tonight, he said many of you are going to be set free from that crippling power of fear. And I want to open these altars to you tonight, that if you've been gripped by a fear tonight, you are going to be standing on that lion. You are going to be standing on that snake, that serpent, that enemy that's been gripping your soul. If that's you, just begin to make your way. Just step out of the seats. If you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, you come to this altar tonight. Just step out of your seats. Come on down to this altar tonight. And you're going to give this fear to God once and for all. And you're going to know Him as the one that keeps you, the one who sustains you in all manner of life. Though you may be facing trouble and you're fearing something, God is going to set you free tonight in Jesus' name. An ant spoke to Corrie ten Boom. Tonight, God has sent a pastor to minister to you and to bring a word straight from heaven to your soul, that you can understand tonight that the very thing that you are fearing, that you can take it by name. Whatever that fear is, take it by name and cast that thing down and stand upon it by faith tonight in Jesus' name. This whole message tonight is to bring you to that place of believing that God will never leave you nor forsake you. That He is here for you. That you trust Him now. Trust Him in this area. Take it now by name. Cast it to the ground. Stand on it in Jesus' name. It will not have dominion over you. These things will not have dominion. Now pray this with me. Lord Jesus, I take this thing, this fear that has gripped me, and I cast it down in the name of Jesus. We know the name of Jesus. It is higher, it is greater, it is stronger, it is mightier than any other name. And tonight, we cast down fear, and we call on the name of Jesus. And tonight, I believe that I am set free from the power and the grip of hell itself. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, I am free. In your name, I am free. And I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, beloved, give Him thanks. We're going to sing another song. Take this thing and by faith put it under your foot and begin trampling that thing underfoot right now as we take the next 5 minutes and just worship the Lord. Let's just open our hearts. Let's worship the Lord. You put that underfoot in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the conclusion of the message.